Amen. Lord Jesus, as we stand here this morning, Lord, we're waiting in expectation, Father, for you to come among us and make yourself known. Lord, you come by the preaching of the word and the demonstration of it to back it up, Lord Jesus, to meet the needs of each one, to speak to our hearts, Lord, that we can recognize your voice and believe it. Everyone here has many needs. We have families and friends who have many needs, and we pray for them, Lord. We always pray for them, expecting you to deal with them. And Father, in your own time, you take care of our needs. Lord, we're so grateful for that. So we come this morning now, Lord Jesus, to gather together, bring our faith, bring the Holy Spirit that each one has together to make it a stronger flame, Lord Jesus, that you could show yourself among us, Father, that we can be strengthened. So come and have your own way this morning. Anoint each one to hear and to believe. Meet our needs, Lord Jesus. And bless the ones who aren't here, Lord. Just, Lord, you know the situations. We ask for them too. We ask this in your name. Amen. God bless you this morning, brother and sister. If you want to read, we're going to turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 4, we'll start. Going to continue speaking on this thought of the day of the Lord. Matthew 24, 4, and it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." You may be seated. So last Thursday night, we spoke on the thought of the beginning of sorrow, and we showed how even though the bride does not go into the tribulation, we know that as these things are starting to come up on the earth and that the Antichrist spirit is getting more strength and gathering his forces together, we know the bride is still going to be here for the beginning of that. And that's why we said we will be here for the beginning of sorrows. All right. I also said that there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus here, he said, "Be not troubled, for the end is not yet." He said, you know, there's nothing to worry about. I got you covered. I got going to take care of you. But then they said, "Many will be offended and should betray one another and hate each other." And we're going to see that more and more as we see the power of the Antichrist come into play. And the people who are the believers or the so-called believers here at the end time, they're going to be affected by this. All right? And we know that the spirit of the age is a lukewarm spirit. You can go to church, you can be a message believer, but it's just a lukewarm spirit. We spoke about how people are becoming more apathetical. There's just apathy. There's a laxness. There's a lukewarm spirit. It's just like, well, I go to church. What more do you want? Kind of an attitude. And that's not going to get it, folks. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But what God has to fight that, let me just read out of this. And I read this Thursday, but I just want to go over it again. He says, "Here and now is now set forth the love of God. He desired in love a family of his own, a family of sons like himself. Therefore, before him lies all mankind as one lump of clay. Out of that same lump, he will now make vessels unto honor and to dishonor. The choosing will be his own choosing." Isn't that amazing? The choosing will be his own choosing. Well, you say, well, Brother Phil, if he's choosing, then how can he condemn someone to hell if he didn't choose him? Don't worry about that. Just get to the judgment day, and you'll understand how that works out if you don't work it out now. Because brother and sister, even though he chooses, you also have to choose. All right? He says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Brother and sister, there's a lot of people called, but he's only going to choose the ones he knows are going to choose him to begin with. All right? But it's his own choosing. Then those chosen ones born of his spirit will be trained to conform to his image in their walk. Trained to conform. How are we going to be trained? He reproves with long suffering and gentleness and mercy. Sometimes it don't feel so gentle when he reproves us, does it? Sometimes it feels kind of bad. He chastens with nail-scarred hands. When he's paddling you, when he's spanking you, he sees those scars and he knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like to be a human being. He knows just the amount of chastening we need. He's not beating us. Sometimes this potter must take the vessel he is working on and thoroughly break it down in order that he may rebuild it exactly as he desires it. Brother and sister, now this, a lot of people say, well, I was such a sinner, he took me. Let me tell you what this breaking down usually is. It's usually our own religion. Because we start putting this together and, you know, he's working this and he's getting us to a place he wants us and we start trying to help him. We start trying to help him mold this pile, this vessel the way we want to be, the kind of Christian we want to be. He takes that old thing, he sets it over here. You know what? It dries after a while. And then when it dries, he takes that rod and he just beats it down and it shivers and it comes all that. He puts some more water on it, he molds it, and he starts building again. He said, you going to let me do it this time? You going to let me have it? Or do you want to go through this again? And after a while, after we've gone through it several times, we say, okay, enough of this. I don't want to do this anymore. He's teaching us how to walk. He said, but it is love. That is his love. Another way of his love there is not, there cannot be. So if we want the love of God, we need to be able to sit there and as children of God, endure the chastening and not despise it like bastard born Christians do and endure the chastening and let it have the effect so he can make us to what he wants us to be. Because brother and sister, in this age, what he's doing is, and through this is building your character. And character is your strength. And if you don't have the strength to endure this age, you're going to fall like everybody else. Because character is strength, and that means you're going to stand when everyone else around you is crawling because they did not get their character molded to be able to stand the pressure of this age. And remember, the pressure of this age is soft living. Because who in the world needs to pray? Why should we have to do anything? I go to church, I listen to the tapes, I'm a good person. Brother and sister, and you get Sarah, and you sit in church, and you got kind of, Brother Nate's leading the song, and you're kind of here. And Brother Jerry, Brother Phil's preaching, you're kind of here, but you know what? Hey, I'm a Christian, I've been born again, and everything just fine. And brother and sister, that's a lukewarm spirit. God hates that thing. And if you're one of his, he's going to light a fire under you. Yes, he is. Now, I'm not talking, like I said Thursday, I'm not talking about go work something up. Well, I'm going to just really be on fire for the Lord. I'm just going to really get into it. No, just stop. That's building your own vessel again. He's going to just break that back down. How do you get closer to God? Brother Branham said it's the easiest thing in the world. Read your Bible and pray. That's all you do. And you don't, God, I prayed 3 hours today. Aren't you proud of me? No, he's not. You are wasting your time. Why? Because that's the wrong attitude. That's not faith. Read your Bible and pray. Just listen for the voice of God to speak. Let his spirit come and move you. Let him do it. Don't try to work something up. So he says, that's his love. There's not another way he loves. There cannot be. Then he says this, O little flock, do not fear. This age, talking about Laodicean age, is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together. And as a threefold cord is not easily broken, they will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual or satanical power. We see it happening. We see how our government is being taken over. We see how the political correctness and all these things around us, we see how it's taken over. And brother and sister, it, like I said Thursday night, it says adherence through direct or indirect principles or something like that. But brother and sister, it's the beast system is taking over everything and we can see it all around us. Just go out and say something against it sometime. See if you still have a job. Brother and sister, we will end up saying something about it when's the right time. All right, they said, they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. So brother and sister, the bride is still here when this is happening. It's not the tribulation period yet, it's getting ready for it. But the bride is still here. It didn't say seek to destroy the foolish virgins in the tribulation. It says the bride of Christ. So brother and sister, we are going to be affected by this whole political system that's coming to squeeze us out, to destroy us. They will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure. Why will she endure? Because she endured the chastening of the Lord to begin with. He created this. He built the character in us through his chastening to a point where when that comes against us, we have the strength to stand there against that squeeze. All right? So I'm just going over what I did Thursday night. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth, for he who loved his own loveth them unto the end. Right? Now, got everyone caught up from Thursday night? Now let's keep going. I'm going to read from Joel 2, verse 1 and 2. It says this, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. So we're talking about the day of the Lord again, right? A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountains. Now wait a minute. You got darkness and gloominess and all this gross darkness, but then it said morning spreads upon the mountains. So how can have them both? Because Brother Branham preached it. He said there's darkness and gross darkness on the people, but shalom, good morning to the bride. Why, for us, it's a new day. We've been birthed into this new day. It's the bride age, and we say the sun rising on us, and the rest of the world's going to darkness, and here we are in light. He said, well, that can't happen. Have you heard of Israel and Egypt? In Goshen, they had light, and the rest of the world was total dark. The rest of Egypt was dark. It's happened again, friends. There is light. You know how you know it's total darkness? Because Christ has been put outside the church, and it's total darkness. But for the bride, there's light. He says, a day of darkness and the gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as this morning spreads upon the mountain, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So here he says, the day of the Lord's coming. It's gross darkness, but to the bride is light. And then he says, and a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Brother and sister, we, like I said Thursday night, we are going to be the culmination. The bride in this day is a culmination of what the whole history was all about. God in man in a way that's never been done before as far as a group. We're going to take a rapture. Some of us might be alive. Now you can read different, like Enoch did that, and Elijah, he called up and different things, but this is going to be a group, not a bunch of prophets, not a bunch of preachers, not a bunch of great people, but just average people like us. There's never been people like us. Isn't that amazing? You say, well, I don't feel very special. Good. Hope you don't feel special. But do you believe it? That's what matters. Do you believe this? Do you confess it? Now, if you go out and try to say, well, yeah, I'm a great, strong person, well, you're going to get another whooping. All right? Because God don't want you to have that attitude. He wants you to just take the attitude he gives you of humility, recognizing that he's called you to this bride in this day because he saw something about you and he predestinated you to be here at this time. He chose you for this age. See, I don't feel very strong. Maybe that's why he chose you, so you don't lean on your own strength, your own understanding. Ain't it amazing? I tell you what, all right. So let's look at this, what it's going to be like for us, this amazing people, this bride, the ones who are so like Christ, you can't tell the difference. He says this, there's coming a time in this nation to where this nation is going to exercise all the power that the beast had before, which was pagan Rome when it became papal Rome. That this nation will do that. So he's talking about the United States. All right? Don't put this off some other country somewhere. They might have it in that country, but this nation is also going to do it. He said Revelation 13 plainly explains it. The lamb came up out of the earth. The other beast came up out of the water, thickness and multitudes of people. This lamb came up where there is no people. That was the beginning of the United States, right? A lamb represents religion, the Lamb of God. Remember, it spoke like a lamb. It was a lamb. It came up right. It came up with freedom of worship. It came up with the right principles. It came up that we started with, built on Christian principles in our initial government. They're looking at these and they put these things in place, recognizing the fallacy of man. They put these checks and balances to make sure that we could run this as a Christian nation. And then after a while, he received power and spoke like a dragon and exercised all the power the dragon had before him, and the dragon is Rome always. So do you see? Roman denomination, a marked Protestant denomination, an image unto the beast, making a power that will force all Protestants like a union. This is what we're enduring. This is the beginning of sorrows. This is what we're going to see. And we're seeing it now, and it's coming so subtle and so gentle and so sensitive and so like, this is just, don't you think we should be nice to each other? We shouldn't have people hating each other because of this. We should be just love everybody. It sounds really good. And they're right, we should love everybody. But that doesn't mean, just because you love someone doesn't mean you agree that they're right. See, that's what they're trying to say. If you really love me and you accept me, then you're going to agree with my lifestyle. No, I'm not either. Jesus didn't. Tell me he didn't love everybody. And he didn't agree with everyone's lifestyle. He didn't agree with everyone's doctrine. He didn't agree with everyone's religion. That's the real Jesus. He said, an image unto the beast, making a power that'll force all Protestants like a union. You'll have to be into this council of churches or you won't be able to have fellowship. Well, it's practically that way now. You can't go to a church and preach unless you have a fellowship card or some identification. Brother and sister, we're seeing more and more of this coming. Let me just put it this way. There's a lot of message churches where Brother Jerry can't preach or I can't preach. A lot of message churches didn't let anybody preach. Tell me that's not the same spirit. Tell me it's not that whole Antichrist spirit trying to shut up the voice of God in this day. Sure it is. See how subtle he is? Yeah, but that's Brother so-and-so, Brother Phil. I don't care who it is. Paul said if an angel comes, if I preach something different, or an angel preaches something different, let him be accursed. Now he said it. He says, now on persons like ourselves, we're going to be cut out of all that altogether. That's good. That's exactly because they won't be able to do it. What's he saying? They won't be able to shut us up. They won't be able to stop our fellowship. They're going to try to, and they're going to make laws, and they're going to force us to do this, but they're not going to be able to do it. Why? It's tightening, and then when that time comes, and the press comes to a place to where you're pressed out, then watch the third pull then. It'll be absolutely to the total loss, but it'll be for the bride and the church. Watch the third pull then, because brother and sister, when that press comes and when you can't buy or sell and when you can't have church and you can't do all these other things, watch God come on the scene and prove to the world who you are. He'll prove to you who you are too if you have any doubts. But he's not going to do this to people who aren't ready. He's not going to do this to a lukewarm message believer. Because when that press comes, they're not going to be able to stand. And when you don't stand, you're going to fall. And when you fall, he's not going to lift you up. He's going to say, let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that holy be holy still. It'll be absolutely to the total loss, but it'll be for the bride and the church. That total loss, they're going to see it. And not the whole world. It's going to be just a few, I believe. But, message believers will see it. And they're going to see this, and they're going to say, oh, my goodness, this is true. Look at this power. Brother Paul, he just said something, and it happened. And look what all this stuff has happened. But it's for us. It's to make sure that we can maintain ourselves, that we have something to eat, that we have a place to stay, whatever, until the rapture. It's going to be a short time, friends. How long is short? I don't know. A day, a week, a month? I don't know. I don't care. Just make sure I'm there for it. He said, now we're closer than it seems to be. I don't know when, but it's real, real close. I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. I may be taken before that time. I don't know. And that time may be this coming week that the Holy Spirit will come and bring Jesus Christ. He may come this next week. He may come yet tonight. I don't know when he'll come. He doesn't tell us that. He said, but I do believe that we are so close that I would never die with old age. Yet at 54 years old, I never die with old age until he's here. Unless I am shot, killed, or something or other, some way killed, just old age wouldn't kill me and he's until he comes. And I believe that. I want to say this. I have never said it before, but according to Scripture, according to what he said 33 years ago, what he said, everything has just happened exactly. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is this message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So it's paralleled in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. So, brother and sister, this message will bring back Jesus Christ. It will forerun his coming. It will introduce him to us and to the world. And, brother and sister, that's what we have right now is this message. People wanted the prophet to do it. They're looking for the prophet to do it. The prophet is gone. It's the bride. The word is in the bride. It's got to be manifest through the bride, and that's what we've been called for. Let me go ahead here. So now, he said this in 1963. He said, so now I'm going to say something to you now that I haven't said all along. And that is the thing that we've looked forward to for so long, or at least many years, 4 or 5 years, maybe longer, the third pole has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you know what it is. Third pole, you know what it is. What he's speaking about here is the spoken word. When he spoke the squirrels into existence, he spoke to Hattie Wright's kids, he spoke to the tumor in Sister Mita, he spoke to the storm, different things. This is what he's talking about. When the bride takes the word into her mouth and speaks it as God speaking, and it happens. This is what he's talking about, okay? Understand that? You all know what's going on. I didn't think I had to go through more than that. He said, remember, there will never be any impersonation of that because it can't be. It cannot be because how are you going to impersonate it? If you speak and say, let there be a squirrel and no squirrel appears up, guess what? It ain't going to work. Everyone's going to look at you and say, well, you're false. Right? He said, it cannot be. Now, it's in existence, and I've warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it's just happened so it could identify its presence among you. He did it to identify his presence among us, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. Brother, that's exciting. Because back earlier than this, we're going to talk about this, I think, Thursday night. Brother Branham thought back in 1958, he thought it was going to happen right then to a great way. And now in 1963, he's saying, well, no, it's not going to happen right away and to a fullness until the squeeze starts coming. People are out there trying to manufacture it. At least several years ago, they were trying to do it. And I believe we have some power spoken word, and I've seen things happen like that. But brother and sister, it's not really going to come identify itself until that council begins to tighten up. He says, when it does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything could be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you have seen temporarily be manifest in the fullness of its power. So that's when it's really going to kick in, brother and sister. And so what he's doing now, he's getting a bride ready for that time that he can trust her with that word. He can trust her that she only says what he says. He could trust her that she has the same testimony that Jesus did. I only do that which the Father showeth me to do. Because brother and sister, brother Branham, with his gift, he could have taken that and done all kinds of things he didn't do. But he waited until the Holy Spirit told him to speak. He could have taken that and built a huge kingdom for himself. He could have had a great denomination founded. He could have done all kinds of things. But before he got to that point, God had put him through the shredder, so to speak. He had gone through so much pain. He had learned how to only do what the Father says to do. And you and I are going through the same thing. Sometimes you wonder why we have so many trials, why we're going through such hard times. It's because God's getting you to a place where he can trust you that even though you know you had the power of spoken word, you will not use it until he tells you to. Isn't that amazing? What if Brother Branham would have, he saw what he did with Sister Hattie Wright, those two kids saved, right? What if he said, you know, I really love this person, I want to see them saved, I'm going to say the same thing to them. And what if they weren't predestined? What if they were a Judas? See where you run into trouble? This is amazing. This is creation, folks. The creative power of God, he's going to trust us with it. When you get upset about something and you just run off at the mouth, you ever do that? I didn't think so. He can't trust you with something like that if you can't control your mouth. Because what if just in the spur of the moment, just your impulse, you just say something? Isn't that amazing? This is the character he's building, friends. We're going to see it manifest in the fullness of his power. Now, I've heard people talk, and maybe they're just having fun, I don't know. But they say, well, when I get this power, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And you know, it's like, no, you're not. You're going to do as you're led by the Holy Spirit. It's not for you to go out and put on a show and show everyone what great power you have. Let me put it this way. How many people in the world know about Brother Branham speaking those squirrels into existence? A millionth of a millionth percentage? The world ain't going to know this. They're not going to see it. They don't care. This is just so small. It's going to be so simple. But those people around you are going to see it and say, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What they're doing. Let me just jump to something else real quick. I'm going to come back to that. Foolish virgins. Let me read this. We have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, 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 sir. This was during the third seal. He's preaching the third seal in 1963. He said, we haven't had a real stirring. Now look at all the time during his ministry, all the way up to 1963, he said, we haven't had a revival. We haven't had a real stirring. No, 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 sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No, no. He said, well, wasn't that a revival when the prophet was coming out? Remember the first and second pool? What's he talking about? He said the bride's revival. That's what he's talking about. Sure, Pentecost had a great revival. And they had great thousands and millions of people coming into their churches, but he said, that's not the real revival. The bride hasn't had a revival yet, see? There's been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. Wow. Listen to what he said. There's been no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. This was in 1963. He was preaching the seals. He said, we're looking for it. But it'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it. So, brother, you say, yeah, but back in the 60s and the 50s and all that, Brother Branham was having these great campaigns and all these people. But remember, the third pull is what gets the bride's attention. And the opening of the word, the preaching of the seals was the beginning of the opening of the word. That was when the bride, that was what first caught the bride's attention. You say, yeah, but a lot of other people come. Sure you were. They got your attention. But the bride, the opening of the word is what gets the bride's attention because she started recognizing that the first pull and the second pull were wonderful, but that wasn't enough. There has to be a voice that goes with the sign, and she's listening for the voice, and she's still listening for the voice of the sign. Because without the voice, you just got a sign, and it doesn't do you a bit of good. That's why you can have all kinds of manifestation of the Holy Spirit and baptisms and everything else, and never once hear the voice of God and not be part of the bride and die and go to hell. Because the voice has to go with the sign. He opened the seals, and the seals came as a spoken word, and it's a seed, and that seed has to go into your heart, and then it has to bring forth what's in that seed, and that's the opening of the word, and that's when you see that word start manifesting in you. That's going to be the bride's revival, and she starts recognizing who she is because the word that was spoken for her is happening in her life. That's opening it. That's the seven thunders speaking. That's what wakes her up. Now listen carefully, brother and sister. When that starts happening, and I believe right now it is happening because I see it around here, and I believe that's happening. But when it comes to a place where it is so manifest that the spoken word is happening, that third pull comes into its full power, those people around you who don't see it, they're going to say, oh, wait a minute. Why? Because it wakes them up too. And they're virgins. They're message believers. They're not out there in some denominational system. But they're sitting in the pew, maybe right beside you, and they say, oh my goodness, I see this power in Brother Jimmy, but I don't have it. I need the same thing that you got, Brother Jimmy. It's going to be a terrible time. Because you're going to say to them, you got to get it the way I got it. You need the same character that I got. And the only way I got it was sitting in church and letting the word mold me into his character. You don't get it overnight. There won't be any time left. You're going to look at your family members. You're going to look at your brothers and sisters and you're going to say, I'm sorry, but you ain't got time. Because you didn't care enough. You sat in church with some lukewarm attitude. You sat in church without praying up before getting there. You just thought, if I go to church, I'm going to be good to go because I believe what my pastor teaches. This is an individual walk. You either know Christ individually or you are not going in the rapture. This is for a very few people, brother and sister. This is going to be a very few people. Brother Branham said at the time, he said something like this, I don't know if I could find eight. Didn't he say something like that? I understand what he's talking about. Because look how we are so influenced by this lukewarm spirit. Look how it's, and it's not that big of a, I don't feel like going to church tonight. Or, I'm going to sit here and think about Walmart or whatever. And we just got so much stuff. We're all influenced by this. We're all influenced by it, brothers and sisters. But recognize it, that spirit is trying to put just a heaviness on us. So we can't really worship. So we can't really pray. So we got this bothering us and that's bothering us. And we just kind of get lethargy and we're just kind of like sitting there just going through the motions after a while. It's a horrible time. The day of the Lord is a great and terrible time. Because for those few who are the bride and they see the life of Christ, they see that word manifesting, there's nothing better. But for everyone else, it's going to be a horrible time because you're going to recognize one day. Let me just read this again to just make it clear. At midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bride who cometh, go ye out to meet them. What was it? It's waking her up. He said, it's going to take the seven unknown thunders there to wake her up again. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They thought they were born again because they had a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They thought they were fine, and they sat there in the message church for year after year just sitting there. Wasn't that important? I'm a Christian. I go to church. But their lamps had gone out, and you know when they found out? When they woke up, and the bride starts having her revival, and they're looking around saying, how come I don't got that? How come I don't have that zeal? How come I don't have that love? How come I don't have that power in my life? How come I don't have what someone else has? Please don't be preaching to anyone like that. Don't get to that point. Do something about it. You say, what can I do about it? Read your Bible and pray. Can I read you what Brother Branham said? He said, let me have this handful of people in here tonight, fully considered to Christ, their life dedicated to Christ. God can do more with this handful of people here than you could do with the whole World Council of Churches towards the kingdom of God. One man surrendered into his hands fully, that's all God needs. But you see, we're not willing to lay still and let him beat this side and that side and knock this out and knock that out, knock this idea out and that, and let Jesus Christ be reflected in us. That's what it takes to lay still and let him have his way. He said, we see too many movies. We got too many televisions. We got too many other worldly amusements until the church has lost its taste to the people. Brother and sister, that spirit is strong. That spirit is strong. He said, well, there's nothing wrong with doing it. You're right. There's nothing wrong with doing it unless you're doing that instead of letting God have his way in your life. If you have an idol between you and God because you'd rather watch that movie and sit there and pray. And I'm not talking about your flesh. Don't get confused. Your flesh don't want to pray, folks. Your flesh don't want to read the Bible. Your flesh would rather read something else or go hang out or do whatever. But is there something inside of you that draws you, that pulls you, that forces you? If it's not there, I would check my conversion, friends. Because God, if you're born again, he's not going to let you just sit there and stew. He You're going to say, let's get up and be going, youngin. Too many other worldly amusements until the church has lost its taste to the people. Just don't feel like going tonight. Wish Brother Phil would hurry up and get done so we can go to lunch. Friends, I understand where you're coming from. I'm the same way. We all have this. We all fight this. It's the spirit of this age. It's the Antichrist spirit. Brother Branham said, it's because the Holy Spirit moves out and something else moves in. That's right, friends. And even if you are born again and down in your soul, it's there. And yet in our spirit realm, we can let that thing influence to such a place where after a while you just feel like, ah, I don't even know anymore. And you get offended and you leave. If you're born again, you'll be back. Beat up a little bit. But if you're not born again, oh, you might still sit in the pew. You might still be here. You might still be a message believer. One day, you look around, you notice something. There's a power. There's a life. There's something that during this time, you didn't see it as much, but all of a sudden, there it is. Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Whew. Someday that door is going to be shut, brother and sister. Mercy is going to run out. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, open to us. And he answered, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We have before us, brother and sister, the most amazing time for a group of people that's ever happened on this earth. We are going to be so Christ-like that the headstone can come down and sit on the body, and it's going to sit there without any seam at all. Perfectly fitted, so you can't even, it's just going to be exactly like, you can't tell where the person is and Christ begins, just like it was in Jesus. Now, you're going to still make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. But the character and the love and the power is all going to be there, just like it was in Brother Branham. The life in him was the sheaf wave to show what the life in the bride's going to be. That's what we have. That's what we have waiting for us if you want it. But it's going to take such a dedication, going to take such a life that's beyond what you can do in yourself. But the Holy Spirit in you will produce this if you let him. But everyone else is going to come so close. And Brother Branham said, they asked him one time, why did the people here at the end have to go to the tribulation to be purged? Other ages didn't have a tribulation to go through for their foolish virgins. He said, because it's going to be such a time that they need, that they rejecting Christ, that they need to go this because they're going to see such an opportunity. And they rejected it. It's the same as Israel. When they rejected Christ, they had to go through that horrible time. It's the same with the foolish virgins because they come right up to the end and they reject it. And it was so obvious to them. Because they rejected such a light, they're going to have to go through this terrible time of tribulation. It ain't nothing to play around with, friends. If you're not going to dedicate your life to God completely, you need to get out of here. Get out there and live as hard as you can. Because your punishment, it'd be like not going to be a Judas because they're still saved. But brother and sister, you rejected him. For what? For some worldly amusement? For some friendship? For reputation? Please, don't be foolish. Let me get back over here. I'm almost done here. All right. He said, now I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned first. I must continue on. Therefore, you've had the word, and you know what to look for, how to stand. We know what to look for and how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. And friends of mine, keep still and just keep moving on. For the hour is approaching swiftly that when something is going to be done. Now, you might see some little odd things happen to me. Nothing sinful. I don't mean that. But I mean something odd to what the regular trend, because what I've preached, I'm sorry, because what I have reached to now in the ministry, I'm dropping back here, watching that spot and waiting for the time to use it. But it's going to be used. So what he is saying, he said, now he recognizes he's coming to the point. It's been manifested, the third pull. We know what it is. But now it's not time to be fully put into his full power yet. So I'm just going to drop back a little bit. But there's going to be a time when it is. Everyone knows that for certain. As the first was identified, so has the second been identified. And if you think real closely, you are spiritual. The third is properly identified. We know where it is, so the third pull is here. He said, now, I must lay quiet for just a little while. You might see a change in my ministry right away, dropping back, not going up, dropping back. We're right at the age now, and it can't go any further. We have to wait here just a minute until this happens over here to catch up. Then the time comes. So what needs to catch up? It's the bride has to make herself ready. This was back in 1963. What's that, 50 or 60 some years ago, something like that? The bride during this time is making herself ready, and she not there yet because we're still here. It hadn't come yet. But brother and sister, as this squeeze comes on, and it's going to squeeze us right into this, and then this thing is going to come into a full effect. He says this in the Church Age book. This later seeing age ends in a blackout of the word, thereby causing a departure of the Lord from the midst. He stands outside calling to his own who follow him by obedience to the word. After a short and powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. So there's going to be a short and powerful demonstration. Like I said, I don't know how long short is. It might be a day, it might be a week, it might be a month, it might be 6 months. I don't know. Short is short. But then this hunted and persecuted group. See, we're not just going to be cruising along like we are now and say, oh, one day we're going to just go in a rapture. It ain't going to work that way, friends. And when that squeeze comes, it's going to squeeze some people out and some people in. You're going to find out what you really have at that day. You're not going to wonder if I have the Holy Ghost then. You're going to know for sure. You're going to be seeking it, or you're going to be like, praise God. A lot of people say, I'm born again, I'm born again. Well, friends, your life tells it. Who are you trying to convince? Yourself? You don't have to convince anybody you're born again. Your life tells for you. And if your life isn't vindicating and witnessing that you're born again, then your words don't make it so. Let God prove who you are. And get it done quickly. He said, oh Lord, I believe that the hour is soon coming that when the loaves and fishes will be multiplied. There'll come a mark of the beast soon. There'll come a confederation of churches. They'll put out a unionized church that no man can buy or sell. And your church, it won't bother them. Isn't that amazing? It won't bother them. For your Holy Spirit shall lead them and feed them as you did Israel in the wilderness. You are God. Don't let us miss that, Lord. Let us remain faithfully. Let us be true. There's nothing to worry about. You say, well, if we can't buy or sell, we better stock up on some food. We better get some water. We better get some rifles and some ammunition. Well, if you're Mormon, go ahead. They're planning on being here for the tribulation. If you think you're going to be here for the tribulation, go for it. Brother and sister, the bride's going to be taken care of. The bride's going to be taken care of. Now, I don't say don't have some food on hand for some natural, you know, emergency or disaster or something. I ain't saying that, but if you plan on, well, during this time, I'm going to make sure I'm stocked up. Well, what kind of faith do you have? You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing to be afraid of. This is what it's for, is for the bride, for God to show, to prove the world who the bride is. Amen. Let me finish here. Talking about the Philadelphian church age. This is in church age, but he said this, the Philadelphian age particularly flows into the next age. Not only does this age overflow into the last age, but the last age is in many respects simply a carrying on of the sixth age. The seventh age, a very short age, gathers up into itself for one quick work. Listen to this. The Laodicean church age gathers up into itself for one quick work all the evil of every age, and yet all the reality of Pentecost. So this is going to be the greatest time where the world is going to be as dark as it's ever been, and the bride is going to be as light as it's ever been. But all the evil of every age is going to come and gather up in this age. And all the reality of Pentecost, Christ and his bride, to greater extent than ever before. What a time. That's what we have to look forward to. That's what we're doing. That's why we're seeing the things we're doing. Brother David and I were talking just a minute ago about how evil this age is and how the perversion and everything is coming. And it's all from all the ages down through time. Look back at some of the evil been through the ages. Look what the Inquisition, how they tortured people. Look at the horrible things that happened. Look at it all. And it's all coming up in this age. And it's going to be like come to fruition. The harvest time. And yet it's done in such a way as it's going to deceive everyone on earth as thinking it's a good thing, except for the bride. Because it said he will deceive all on earth whose names are not written on the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. That just excites me. Because when he speaks to you and he says, you were one of mine from there. You are one of those brides. It's you. My. All the evil of every age, and yet all the reality of Pentecost. Once the Philadelphian age has about run its course, the Laodicean age quickly comes in, bringing both the tares and the wheat to harvest. He said, first bind the tares to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So it's harvest time, brother and sister. This is when everything comes to maturity. And this message that we have believed for the last 50 or 60 years, or however long you believed it, is going to come to maturity, friends. And it's going to produce exactly what Brother Branham said it would produce. If it doesn't, it's false. If this doesn't produce this, it's false. And we've been more deceived than anyone in the world. Well, Brother Phil, how do you know it's true? Well, I heard one person talking about it. He said, I know the message is true because it just makes sense. No. That ain't revelation. Because you can take something else and prove it doesn't make sense. Well, I can find it in the Bible. You can find most other doctrines, the Baptist doctrines and everyone else in the Bible too. That doesn't mean anything, brother and sister. This is revealed to you. It's got to be revealed to you personally. It's a revelation. And then when it's revealed to you, you see the word, that the message speaks, and you see it happening. And you see it happening in you and those who believers around you. Then you have something to stand on. That's a rock that can't be shaken because it's been revealed. And you know it's true because God told you that it's true. And you're not sitting around, well, I know I'm born again because I had this experience and I had that experience and I had that experience. Brother Branham said, don't ever use experience or how does he say sensation is what he said. You have to have an experience. He said, don't ever let a sensation put any confidence in that. You have to have experience, but what is an experience, brother and sister? It's you and God having a conversation. It's talking together. It's God showing you something, revealing something to you. You got to know, friends. It is this last age that Jesus says, I come quickly. That makes the last age a very short one. Laodicea is the age of the quick work. It is cut short. And why is it cut short? Except those days were shortened for the elect's sake. Because, brother and sister, this power coming against us, it's going to be the most massive, mighty power Satan's ever amassed together. He's going to have the whole world coming against us. But remember, before that beast is incarnate, the Antichrist spirit comes down into that human being incarnate, devil on earth, the bride is gone before that time. We're not going to see it. So if you wake up one day and notice that the Pope has become the Antichrist incarnate, you missed it, friends. Sorry about that. But you don't have to. We can make it. Amen? Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Stand.